सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll chant verses 21 to 25 of chapter 6.
सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत् सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत् बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेति यत्र न चैवायं वेति यत्र न चैवायं स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः। सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत् बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेति यत्र न चैवायं स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः। यं लब्ध्वा चापरं लाभं यं लब्ध्वा चापरं लाभं मन्यते नादिकं ततः मन्यते नादिकं ततः। यस्मिन् स्थितो न दुःखेन यस्मिन् स्थितो न दुःखेन गुरुणापि विचार्यते गुरुणापि विचार्यते। यं लब्ध्वा चापरं लाभं मन्यते नादिकं ततः। यस्मिन् स्थितो न दुःखेन गुरुणापि विचार्यते तं विद्या दुःखसंयोग तं विद्या दुःखसंयोग। वियोगं योगसंहितं वियोगं योगसंहितं स निश्चयेन योक्तव्यः स निश्चयेन योक्तव्यः। योगो निर्भिन्नचेतसा योगो निर्भिन्नचेतसा तं विद्या दुःखसंयोग वियोगं योगसंहितं स निश्चयेन योक्तव्यः। योगो निर्भिन्नचेतसा सङ्कल्पप्रभवान् कामान् सङ्कल्पप्रभवान् कामान् त्यक्त्वा सर्वाणशेषतः त्यक्त्वा सर्वाणशेषतः। मनस्त्रैवेन्द्रियग्रामम् मनस्त्रैवेन्द्रियग्रामम् विनियम्य समन्ततः विनियम्य समन्ततः। सङ्कल्पप्रभवान् कामान् त्यक्त्वा सर्वाणशेषतः। मनस्त्रैवेन्द्रियग्रामम् विनियम्य समन्ततः। शनैः शनैरुपरमे शनैः शनैरुपरमे बुद्ध्या धृतिगृहीतया बुद्ध्या धृतिगृहीतया आत्मसंस्थं मनः कृत्वा आत्मसंस्थं मनः कृत्वा न किञ्चिदपि चिन्तयेत् न किञ्चिदपि चिन्तयेत्। शनैः शनैरुपरमे बुद्ध्या धृतिगृहीतया आत्मसंस्थं मनः कृत्वा न किञ्चिदपि चिन्तये।
मधुजी प्लीज रिपीट योर
क्वेश्चन। Since you were talking that in when you are doing the yoga, you should try to divert your mind from the world outside within yourself. That's what I remember from one of the shlokas 2 weeks back. So what?
Now I remember what you're talking about. See, I said yoga is bringing the mind to its source.
Yes.
Yoga means bringing the mind to its source. Yoga also means focusing on the positive, not on the negative. So in that context, I said, even in the plant, which has so many thorns, there are rose flowers. So when you are in yoga, you start focusing on the flower rather than the thorns. Once you start focusing on the flower and not on the thorns, slowly, slowly, you will start developing the right attitude with reference to thorns, understanding that the thorns are also there only to protect the flower. unhealthy. So your very attitude towards the thoughts change. So I said, there are people in the world who may be negative, but if you put in that effort, with this knowledge you will be made to put in that effort, it will be made little easier, then you will be able to see positive even in them.
So I gave the example that day of, contract killer. You remember? The contract killer, I'm told, I'm talking not from experience, right? From the stories that I've heard from the newspapers, etc., that these guys take money to kill people, right? So when they take money to kill them, whomsoever they've agreed to kill, I believe they go and make sure that they kill the fellow or they return the money, something like this. So I said, even in them you find a kind of honesty, whether it is in the right area or not, the honesty is there. So in other words, in everybody there is definitely some element of goodness. Right. So I said, when we are as in sadhana, as sadhak, we should remember this, yoga is to make us go and look into the positives. Right. So then I said, the moment you get a negative feeling about somebody, negative things you hear or you see in somebody, I said, focus on the positive. What are all the positives? Right. Then you immediately you are turning your mind. No. Okay, fine. Bring in the example of those plant. This guy, I look like, this guy looks to me like having so many thoughts. I'm sure there are some beautiful flowers in him. What are they? The moment I start looking at that, slowly, slowly, over a period of time, my hatred starts turning into love for that person. And when my feeling to that person changes, you will find something tremendous happening. That is, the law starts working, which is that when my feeling towards the other person starts becoming genuine love, I start seeing that person reciprocating the same. It's incredible. But then, the feeling level, not at the thinking level. See, very often what happens, people read the books like Secret and all this. Even in that book, if you carefully read, it talks about feeling that is very important. Not thinking. Suddenly if I think that I'm rich, nothing is going to come. Money is not going to come to me. But if I feel rich, when will I feel rich? When I'm grateful. When I am giving out of gratitude in whatever I do, I am giving that. Naturally I am giving. Even if I have no fear of where my next meal is going to come, then I am rich, na? It travels through the food. Then you find that so many people offering food to you. It happens when you feel, not when you think. Thinking is at a grosser level compared to feeling. You go deeper, when you start feeling, then you are reverberating at that level. So in that context I said, focus on the positive. The moment my mind says, I'm focusing on some negative, I'm unaware, but going on, I'm focusing on negative, nothing could be done. The moment I become aware, hey, what is this? Why am I focusing on negative? Then I say strongly to myself, I am doing something. Right. The person's nature is not under my control. That is his problem. That is his nature. My nature is in my control. My perception is in my control. I could do only that. Remember that quotation we said, it is impossible to carpet the entire universe, but you can protect your feet with chappals. Isn't it? Is it possible to carpet the whole universe? Even if you are the chairman of World Bank, isn't it? It's impossible. But it is possible, very much under your control, to protect your feet with chappals. So what is possible? Immediately you ask. His negative actions, habits, maybe my perception, or maybe it is true that he or she has those negativities. But still, what could I do about it? Are you with me? All I could do is, what is possible from my side? Now, I can consciously start telling myself, it is impossible that in God's creation, that everybody will be, there will be people only with negativities. I'm sure there are positives. So I start putting in the next effort to see the positive in the person. It's an incredible feeling. The moment you do that, it's an incredible feeling. Because then you are with some people, all the time they are talking about negative about, especially who is not part of the discussion. This is what we call as gossiping. Are you with me? So, whomsoever is here, somebody who is not here, maybe our friend, or we call them as our friends, but something negative, oh, that person is like that, this person is like that, everybody contributes to it. You kind of slowly get involved. So that is when you got to tell yourself, listen, and I'm not going to do this just for the sake of doing. I genuinely see there might be positive things in that person. I bring it onto the table and discuss it. People may agree, people may don't agree. But that is a tremendous feeling. The very fact that you start focusing like that, you will see that your mind is very calm. And when your mind is calm, you are incredibly productive. You are incredibly dynamic. You bring upon disturbance to yourself by your own negative thinking, focusing on negatives. So therefore, if at all you start focusing on this negative and start talking about it, it's only going to bring you down. Rather than that, start focusing on the positive and then move a spiral upward. That's all I said that day. So this is what I mean by practicing. In the practical sense, the moment I sense the mind is going into negative, quickly I focus on the positive. That helps. That's called yoga. Okay. Now, generally, if you will be able to do this, provided you do daily sadhana. What do you mean? Like in sadhana itself, we say, all sadhanas are definitely helpful, but of this, most important is study reflection. All the other sadhanas help you to do your study and reflection better. Are you with me? So yoga, pranayama, they are also very important. And karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Karma yoga is whatever work you do, according to your nature, if you do, it's good for you. So dharma concept, we studied in the 35th verse of chapter 3. Right? Better to do your swadharma rather than paradharma, even if it is devoid of merit. 35, chapter 3. Shreyam swadharmo vigunaha paradharma sunushtita. Swadharme nidanam shreyaha paradharmo bayavaha. This is what he said. 35th verse, chapter 3. Better is to be in swadharma even if it is devoid of merit, right, than being in paradharma. Your swadharma, even if you die in swadharma, it's okay, rather than being in paradharma, even if you are excelling, it is fraught with fear, it frustrates you, it gives you a lot of agitation. You understand? So therefore it says follow Sudharma. Sudharma means one's own nature. Paradharma means alien nature. So generally in this class, because most of your Sudharma happens to be business. Nature, you know, you're inclined to be doing business. So you do better to yourself and to the world. If you choose Sudharma, what do you think? I gave you the story also, I think, in that context. We can go back and refer to the lecture. A gentleman had a dog as well as a donkey. The dog was for security purposes, and the donkey was for taking to the, he was basically in laundry business. So the old clothes he takes to the transports to the river, in the morning washes them, dries them and brings them back using the donkey. And every time the donkey doesn't move, he beats it. In the night, the dog used to bark and the owner used to come out and pat the dog, you know, feed the dog, etc. Seeing this, the donkey thought, if it also shouts at night, it will also get the same treatment. Right? So it started braying. And when it started braying, he came out, whacked it more. Right? The story is given to tell us that what is your duty, your nature, you act according to that. On a platter, there are varieties of things, each meant to do what it's supposed to be doing.
For example, in our body, kidney is supposed to do what it's supposed to do. Brain is supposed to do what it's supposed to do. Heart is supposed to do what it's supposed to do. Right? Therefore, if every part understands its significance and insignificance, significance from the role point of view, insignificance from the total point of view, then act accordingly, it's good for that part as well as for the total.
That is what is called as Swadharma and Loka Sangraha concept, which we studied in the third chapter. So Karma Yoga is based on that. What is that? You are making business. So what do? You do business, not with selfish intention. Profit making should not be your primary goal. Profit making should be your byproduct. Remember this. Sattvic person eats the remnants of. Why are you saying that very secretly? I think it's a secret between you and me. Sattvic person eats the remnants of.
Sacrifice.
Better. Little louder. That is what sattvic person is. Rajasic person cooks but eats sin. Tamasic person eats without producing. You remember this?
Yes.
Which verse? Verse 12 and 13 of chapter 3. Verse 12 and 13 of chapter 3. He says, tamasic person eats without producing. His consumption ratio is maximum, his contribution ratio is zero or negligible. This is tamasic. Rajasic fellow cooks but eats sin, meaning his consumption and contribution are almost equal. So he always finds himself dissatisfied, wanting more, agitated, craving, not peace. He cooks but eats and means agitated. Tremendous asana, tremendous craving all the time. Jitna bhi hai, uska focus sirf jo nahi hai, not jo hai. Are you mean that is Rajasic? Sattvic is what? One who eats the remnants of sacrifice. So your business should be done in the spirit of. Please understand correctly. You are not going to do business as a charity, but in the spirit of service and sacrifice. Believe me. Like Mahatma Gandhi said, be grateful to the person to whom you served because he gave you an opportunity to serve. And service purifies you, and only purified mind can be God manifesting in this mind. Only in such a mind God will manifest. God is there in every being, but only when the mind gets purified, God surfaces. Like Jesus Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you with me? So when you go to business, you don't go with the profit motive. Profit should be your byproduct. What do we mean by that? Go do business. Whatever you got to do, do it in the best interest of your employees and the customers. And the products that you produce should be in the interest of the country, not something that will be detrimental to the ecology, etc. Are you mean? Keeping all those things in mind, you do the business. Then automatically the profit comes as a byproduct. In that profit also, what you do generally, reinvest in the business, some amount, some portion you take for your living. Are you with me? This is called Karma Yoga. When you live like that, you are not thinking about how much I will get, you are thinking about what I can give. Therefore what will happen? Your vasanas over a period of time slowly start getting reduced. You become more and more calm, quieter, enjoying person, always happy going person, you understand? Satisfied person. Everything will be coming your way, but you are not craving for things. This will happen over a period. Karma Yoga. Then Bhakti Yoga, which is prayer, chanting, right? Developing your emotions. Qualitatively developing your emotions.
right? So this is Bhakti Yoga that you do according to your nature. Then Jnana Yoga, which is daily study, reflection, etc. And then going to the extreme, which is Nitya, Anitya, Viveka, Vichara. What is permanent, what is impermanent? In everything, in fact, you know, whether in this class or some other class, I told you to do this exercise once. In fact, it's a good exercise to do. In every aspect, at the material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, spiritual level, ask yourself,
what is permanent, what is important? Or what is essential, what is non-essential? I'll give you one example. How much money I have now is, relatively speaking, non-essential. My earning capacity is essential. Yes or no? If you are a useless fellow, you have no capacity to earn, you sit and eat, how much of it you have will be finished. Similarly, how much I eat is non-essential, how much I digest is essential. Like that, I'm giving examples. Now you got to go and work. You got to do this homework at all levels. What is essential, what is non-essential? Education. Is it essential?
Yes.
Or non-essential? Degree. Is essential or non-essential? Think about it. Degree from a lower level, essential. But from a higher level, non-essential.
Education.
Exactly.
Right.
Education is essential. Degree is non-essential. When you compare between degree and education. Are you with me? Between money and education. If you think. Then you will say, between money and qualification. Degree means qualification basically. Are you with me? In many business families, the person who originally started the business, if you see, may not be that qualified person. You understand? But the person was educated in it. The entrepreneurship was there. The sacrifice, personal sacrifice, all this is part of education. Education means what? Not just degree. In education, qualification is a very insignificant part. Are you with me? Otherwise,
all those people who went to Wharton and all those universities must be multi-millionaires. And the university Wharton where it is, that country should be always be the richest.
Wasn't the case? What happened to America? Why instead of having the best of economy schools, their economy went for a toss? Do you understand what I'm saying?
So you must think. In fact, in Dubai, when I was teaching there with small children, we organized a debate.
Very interesting debate. So the topic was this. Education essential. Some people were debating. Some children were debating education non-essential. Amazing points they came up with. Children, you know, they think really interesting. So what I'm trying to say is like this, if you think, then you try to kind of associate with essential. Not non-essential. Are you with me? This is Jnana Yoga. And also it will be practically useful to you. So if you do this on a daily basis, you are following yoga. Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. All this will you follow. And also we spoke about Yama, Niyama. Are you with me? Environment, etc., etc. Then you will find your mind naturally gets strained. Even in a difficult environment, negative environment, to focus on the positive. If you are having a meeting, business meeting, there are all people who will come and speak about how this project cannot take off. What are all the points that will prevent us from taking off this project? Right? But if you know, if you are a sadhak, you tell them very clearly, excuse me, this meeting is not organized to discuss about why it is not possible. This meeting is organized as to how we can make it possible. You will
you'll start looking better.
So I'm saying general sadhana, if you do consistently, like how you never falter in having food every day. You understand? It should become your routine. Come what may, I'm not going to do this.
First, in the beginning, this, to get into the list of your priorities itself, it would have struggled. Then, it somehow took place in the list of your priorities. Then, in the beginning, it is there in the list of your priorities, but the last category in the list.
This slowly, slowly has to move up.
You understand? Then, finally, it will come to the first. What?
That alone, this alone matters. Other things doesn't matter.
If you really understand, you know, you see how it's incredible. Can you think of how life is? A party comes to power after 10 years and a few people are elected as ministers. And I think even the first parliament session has not started. A minister casually been with an accident and died.
Yeah.
So then this road only. So then, can you imagine how life is? But how do we live? Is it as if there are so much time left, bahut time baki hai karne ke liye? You understand what I'm saying? Very often, when it comes to the essential aspect of life, mind kind of tells us
there's no time for it.
But the same people who say there is no time for these kind of essential things
complain about boredom. Boredom. Say my life is bored, yeah. I want to do this, I want to... You are saying one side, no time for you. On the other side, you are saying you are bored. How can that go together? So if you think carefully, mind looks for instant pleasure. It's not understanding the seriousness of the matter. The more and more you start understanding the seriousness of the matter, you will start becoming light-hearted with reference to the matters which are so serious to you now. And the matter which is not at all a matter to you now, I'm talking about Vedanta, starts becoming a little more serious to you. So you will say, I'm not going to do that. Like, if doctor told you you are having diabetes now, you must walk. Now you will not say, if you understood the seriousness of what doctor is telling you, will you say now, I don't have time for walking? So nothing doing, I'm going for a walk. Isn't it? It's exactly like that.
So, firstly it has to take place in the priority list. Then it has to go up. Like that, when you do these things, you start winning effortless.
But the effort first is for you to get into the priority list.
How, when things matter to you, all other planning will be around that you will plan.
You understand what I'm saying? Like that you go to.
It cannot be like pickle. In South India, we have pickle. You don't have pickle and rice a little bit too as a side dish. Rice is the main thing. Pickle is the side dish. You understand?
Now this comes like a side dish. No, really. In fact, somebody was telling me, in other class also we started doing recording. And there we are doing video recording. Interestingly, yesterday that very same lady brought it up to me. She said, probably it's bad idea to record. Because, chalo recording hai, I can listen. She said, that's okay. It's a bad idea also, it's a good idea also. You know, for people who are coming regularly, for them it's a good thing to listen to it again and again. If one or two person has that attitude, my firm belief is, once you have tasted Vedanta, it will bring you into full. It's impossible. It happened to me, it will happen to anybody. It happened to me a little earlier, that's all. Once you taste, it will grab. That's why we say, at the very young age, you give the samskaras, what we call as samskaras, impressions. Then even if you stray, like in billiards, they call that in opposition. It will bring you back. It will bring you back. So, this is what I'm saying. So, yoga will bring you back.
provided you make your life a yogic life. Right. Along with that, continue. But never ever stop your study, reflection, all this. In this also you can have a clarity. When the day, everything is not possible, you will see how your life changes. So this is what I meant by saying yoga means focusing on the positive.
So for the distinction and
non-distinction. At all levels you can make. You can create your own levels also. From your society level, business level, what is essential, what is non-essential. From your business angle, from your family angle, what is essential, what is non-essential. What others think of me is non-essential. What I am is essential. See, this is what we mean by creating a strong foundation and centering us in that. It's important, you know. You can't say I'll live and then start creating my own foundation. It doesn't happen. Create your own foundation. Be centered in it. You may find the progress little slow, but it will be steady. You may find in the other things, progress is kind of shooting every now and then, but it will be such a agitated lifestyle. Because the foundation is very important. Is that okay, Madhuji?
Yes.
This is what I was talking about on that day. Specifically also in some context, supposing you are not able to find any negative, the urge is there to talk. No, please don't talk. See, one is not to think at all negative about others. Sometimes it's not possible. My mind is now thinking negatively about somebody. But now what do? That negative thinking, I call up people, I share and discuss about it. Now at least don't do that. And be watchful when the thoughts are coming. The very fact that you start watching it now, slowly it will die away. If it doesn't die away, get up and do some physical work. Or chanting, mantras, some positive diversion. It'll do, it'll go away. This is what you can do at a practical level. When a specific time some negative thought comes, it's something you can't avoid. To use that so much negative things to you, and the person is in front of you, in spite of you studying all the Gita, I think negative thoughts do come. Oh God, he did this to me, she did this. It comes, you can't avoid. And at least don't express it. You know, watch deep, watch for yourself. If it doesn't go, go on to physical work, especially gardening, something like that. Physical work. Or if you are sort of your clients, positive area, do physical work. It will work. And then get on to a basic thing. Nothing can strengthen you like the knowledge. Nothing will strengthen. When I say knowledge, I mean digested knowledge, not the reading. Any other questions? You've done up to words? Can you tell me? 20? You've done up to 22, is it? You finished 22. Yeah? So he's talking about samadhi here. You remember the 8 steps in yoga shastra? What are the 8 steps? Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Right? These are the 8 steps. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. the first five you can say they are vibrations. The next three you can say are the process of meditation, the beginning, middle and end. Finally, meditation this whole process culminates in what? Samadhi. Basically what it means is, at the moment the mind is going outward. Remember, the mind which is going outward needs to be brought inward. So there are so many preparations. Without preparation, it becomes difficult. If you continue to sit in gossiping sessions and then try to change your mind, it's not possible. Right? I always say, if the class is at 11, come minimum 10 minutes early. Why? We are talking about tuning. Talking about tuning. What we call as mind collection. Collecting, gathering your mind. See, especially some people come running. Because sometimes when I make strict, you know, it's not like, this is something which I say in a very light-hearted way also in the class. If you are late, and consistently late, very soon the word late will precede your name. You will become late so-so. Other than urgent, every time you do, obviously you will have heart attack problem. You will be dead and gone soon. You understand what I'm saying? See, that doesn't mean like, you get involved in punctuality. You don't understand, you know. Money if you lose also, you will gain back. Time you cannot get back. It's gone, it's gone. You lost your youth, it's gone. You understand? You don't get it back. So the thing is, if you come little early, you sit down, you gather yourself, sit down and not talk about other things, sit down and gather. In fact, that is why we say, start chanting. You understand? Play the chanting and practice with it. It's beautiful. The mind starts gathering, collecting. So you got to collect your mind, prepare your mind, get it ready. Like we say in sports, body needs to be warmed up. You know, when you warm up, you play better. The warming up is very essential. Those preparations he spoke about. Now he is talking about dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So he said in the 19th verse, if you remember, he said, very important verse, he said, comparing, giving an example, he said, and a lamp in a windless place does not flicker. That simile reflects a yogi with subdued mind practicing union with the self. Now, like Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, if you pour oil from one container to another container, in a single thread it will go. Like that, now the mind is, as soon as you get up, it goes only in that direction. Even in the dream is of such things only. Believe me. But now, today, that is not our condition. Today, we need to put in the effort to make the mind go in that direction. At least we become aware that the mind is going here, I'm pulling it and putting it this side. Now you have to come to a level where on its own mind only goes in that direction. It only starts discussing about, are which verse was that? 35th or 36th verse, what did he say in the last week class? You understand? Mind is going in that direction. Initially, the background is a large background. That is what we call as dharana. Dharana is concentration. The canvas is large. What do you mean by this thing is large, canvas is large? Atma is nitya. Atma is my swarupam. And in what form is it? It is in the form of consciousness, etc., etc. So you are all the time thinking about those things, the concepts, the words. It's in a broader sense. Your mind is now concentrating on those things only.
know, I know people, some of the business people who come to our classes, they say, they, in fact, suddenly they get some time in between, they sometimes call me, you know, to discuss few things. And they tell me, whenever they get time now, they read book, Gita. Earlier they were doing something else. Now, this is called slowly, you know, your mind is now started reveling in such things. It's going there, concentration, dharana. Then dhyana, the meditation. And finally, it goes into samadhi and then nirvikalpa samadhi, totally established. So now the mind, which is initially was only going to the world and not at all thinking about atma or anything, we slowly brought it from the world towards the atma. Whenever we can park, we were parking. Essentially early in the morning. So that the parking, the residue continues for the whole day. Slowly, slowly, the parking starts becoming more and more. This is what I said. Pehla priority list mein aayenge, lekin last mein hoga. Then slowly, slowly, it will come to the, excuse me. So in 20 he said, when the mind resting by the practice of yoga comes to rest and then seeing the self alone by the self, it is satisfied in the self. The mind yatra uparamate. Uparamate means upa means near. Ramate means dwelling inside that area. Going that side. It comes to rest, dwelling there. Mind will be getting now closer and closer to atma. It's not interested in any other, you know, things. Anything relating to life, philosophy, truths, I'm interested. I'm not interested in these kind of gossips and all that. You understand? If there is something that I could learn which will help me to move towards atma, I'm interested. That sort of thing. So then slowly, slowly, you will start seeing the self within and it will be satisfied by the self in the self. Nothing else it craves for. Then in 21 he said, when he knows the supreme bliss which can be grasped by the intellect. You are sure we did 21 and 22, right?
22 we have started.
21 we have done?
22.
Okay. So when he knows the supreme bliss which can be grasped by the intellect, buddhi, when all the impressions are removed, buddhi is become cleansed. What is the problem? Everybody has buddhi. But buddhi is now in functioning in the area of dirt. Are you with me? Cobwebs. Like a machine has got rusted. You got to remove all that. You know, like they do dry docking. What do they do? Dry docking. The ship has been too much in the sea. So as a result of which, what happened? The salt has made the, you know, corrosion, a lot of things have happened. So what do? They take the ship to dry docking. There, they do cleansing, all that. Then, now the ship is again ready for sailing. Daily dry docking, got to do. Because what is happening? You are taking the ship into the world. When you take the ship into the world, all sorts of things happen to the ship. What is the ship here in the context? Your personality. Right? Then you got to do dry docking every day. Then what happens? All the flakes are removed. The buddhi becomes clean. When the buddhi is clean, atma is clean. Atma is not something that you need to achieve. You are atma chaitanya. That is not reflecting in you. Why? There are too many flakes. Are you with me? We are not in a position where we don't have to go into those areas where we get exposed to too many flakes. We are not ready yet for sannyasana. Sitting in the ashram and all the time discussing only about these things. So we will be going to worldly environments. You understand? You go to worldly environments, all sorts of things are there. So there is going to be flakes. But some flakes, if you don't remove immediately, slowly, slowly, that flakes will do what? Greater damage. It almost becomes impossible to remove. Isn't it? Supposing you spill some tea on your clothes. Immediately, if you don't wipe it away, it means not good. You've got to really struggle. Right? So like that. dry docking. So he says that superior bliss which can be grasped as intellect, which transcends the senses and wherein established he never moves from reality, he gets established in it. Chitta uparamanam. Firstly, your chitta has to go closer and closer to Atma. So what do you have to do? You have to bring in things that will make you dwell there. See, mind, remember, what is a mind? Anybody? What is that?
It's just a thought flow.
It's the condition. Mind is a fiction. In some, it's a beautiful fiction. In some, it's an ugly fiction. But it's a fiction. Conditioning. You grow up in some area, you have a different mind. Your conditioning is your mind. Mind is a fiction, but today for us, self has become the fiction. You understand what I'm saying? For a person who is in prison, you go to visit the fellow, for him it looks like you are in prison, because he is seeing from the other side, through the bars. So it looks like you are in prison. It's exactly like that. Mind, for the mind, self is fiction. But the moment you get to the self, you understand that the mind itself is a fiction. Mind is a fiction, it's a habit, it's a conditioning. You have been conditioning the mind in a particular way. Now you give yourself to the Guru. Now the Guru is deconditioning your mind which has been conditioned in a certain way. So some people say, don't go to these guys, they brainwash you. I tell them yes, because your brain requires washing. It has been colored already. Are you with me? It is colored. You are having a colored brain. That colored brain needs to be washed in the Vedantic water. When the colored brain is washed in the Vedantic water, the colors wane away. Then the pure brain remains. When the pure brain remains, Atma reflects. This is something that happens within you, not outside. Therefore, he says it crosses the boundary of senses. Senses means experiences. This is not something that you experience. This is something that is your own nature. You get established there. And once you are established there, you do not move. Nothing can affect you. This is what he said in 22. We are not sure whether we did 22, so we'll chant 22 and we'll do it. Yam labdhva chaparam labham, yam labdhva chaparam labham, madhyate nadikam tataha, madhyate nadikam tataha, yasmin stitona dukkena, yasmin stitona dukkena, gurunapi vichalyate, gurunapi vichalyate, yam labdhva chaparam labham, madhyate nadikam tataha, yasmin stitona dukkena, gurunapi vichalyate. And having obtained which, he thinks no other game superior to it. Wherein established, he is not moved even by great sorrow. Hey, the thing is, we need to firstly become aware of the things that we have lost. Our values are all displayed. The real worthy things in life, we don't know. We have lost them, but we are unaware of the greatest thing that we have lost. And the invaluable, useless thing we are valuing now. The moment we start understanding the essentials and non-essentials, what will be the most valuable? Say for example, this is just an example. Somebody, something has happened, they directed you, since some danger is in high with you. And the doctor is going to say, you will die tomorrow. What will you tell the doctor? No other lab will be of any lab to you. Same time somebody comes and tells you, you want to acquire the new business, to acquire the new business, and your profit has gone by 10 times more. Would it make any difference to you? Will you be interested to even listen to such things? What will be the real say, Hare Baba, my only value now is what? My life. Isn't it? So that's what he's saying. What you have lost, you have no idea. You are, it's like a child is so happy playing with the Monopoly money. Exactly, like children. You understand? Now, it's forgotten. It's the real thing. It's playing with the non-essentials. So that's what he's saying. Having established therein, having established in which, having obtained which, he thinks no other gain superior. Till this date he wondered how I was getting pleasure from the Monopoly money. Huh? What a stupidity. When a child grows and becomes an adult, mature individual, and playing with the real money, thereafter any amount of money gathered in Monopoly money, will it make any difference? Another example, when you are in dream making money, right? And you are going to be given the award. What? Richest person? One who goes to quick success, etc., etc. Awards. And you are about to receive the award, you woke up. You are climbing the steps to go and receive the award from the president of the country, right? And tripped and you woke up. Will that award that you missed in the dream make any difference to you in the waking state? I hope not. So what is this big deal? You understand? You will in fact on the contrary say, my God, how, even though it was my own original nature, all this while I missed this sukham and I was thinking that sukham is the greatest. See, when you get out of the delusion, do you understand? You got to give yourself the example of being in delusion for a while. You know, like some people who got into addiction and they went through hell. They missed out on the pleasure that they would get from playing with children. You understand? From their own children. Many other things they missed out. First thing in the morning, they have to take it. They get addicted to it. You understand? They were living in their own world. When they were slowly, slowly brought out of that addiction, they say, how on earth that I could have thought that was superior to them? See, when they were addicted, it makes no difference to them. If you give them a lecture, they'll say, Hey Baba, forget about all the lectures, give me that. That's all I want. That's why I said you got to replace it with that example of somebody who is deeply in delusion. When you come out of the delusion, would you again want to get back to the delusion? So what hell, man? What stupidity is this? I don't want to get into that. What a nonsense. What a waste of time. Are you with me? What a waste of time. How on earth I missed on these wonderful things. How did I do that? You know? So therefore he says, and having obtained which, he thinks no other gain superior to it. Meaning, his mind is now come to a total satisfaction level. There is no more craving. He is not established. And he says, very established, he is not moved even by great thought. Guru Napi Vicharyate. The greatest sorrow in the dream is of no what, effect to the waker. That's what Lord Krishna started the Gita with. Don't forget. Gita started from which verse? Yeah. Chapter?
2.
Verse 11, chapter 2, Gita actually starts. And what did he say? What is the verse number 11? Sri Bhagavan Vacha Ashochyanam Vashochastvam Pradnyavadamsha Bhashase Gata Suna Gata Sumsha Nanushochanti Panditaha. Do not grieve. wise people do not grieve for those who are gone and those who are going. Those whose breath is gone, those who are living and dead. Wise people do not grieve. Why do they not grieve? Because they know, what do they know? That you are Atma and Atma has no death. Why it has no death? Because it has no birth. What had no birth will have no death. That which is always there will continue to be there. So then what is God? What appeared to be there? Jo paida hua. Jiska janam hua. You understand? What appeared to be born, not that. That's all. So therefore, greatest sorrow also does not move. When you understand that energy can neither be created nor be destroyed, it gets transformed from one to another. Then will you have a loss and gain worry? Gaining ugya, what is the big achievement? Nothing. What has happened? From the clay is lost, pot is gained. And now pot is lost. What has happened? Gain. What gain? Clay. So whether it is in one form or the other, it's a play going on. So profit, loss, both are gains. You remember that story I told you? This I tell in my seminars on maintaining relationship. You know, how to have a joyful relationship. I talk on those subjects. I give this joke. In a neighborhood, newly married couple, rented a house and they started living there. Newly married couple. And 1 year passed by, still all the time the neighborhood only heard laughter from that house. They never heard fight, argument. How is it possible? In all our houses, some problem or the other is there. Understand? All the time there is some fighting going on, wife is shouting, her husband is shouting. This house is tremendous laughter from coming all the time. So they decided we'll have a get together, society get together, and they called the couple. We said, we want to know the secret of your cheer, laughter. How come you people don't fight at all? For which the couple said, it's a very big secret. We will not tell you that. No, you go to tell and they convince. And they finally said, okay, we'll tell you. But you should not tell to anybody else. I said, okay, what is it? We lock the door and we also fight. And when I get angry, I throw some vessel on him. If it hits him, I laugh. If it misses, he laughs. He does the same thing. You understand? If the target is hit, I laugh. The target is not hit, he laughs. In other words, profit ho gaya, law. Loss ho gaya, law. Why? You are not dependent. Really? Simple example I'll tell you. If you can, this relatively, I'm interpreting these words at a very relative level because that is also needed. Financial independence. We always say in Vedanta, who is rich? A question is asked. If I throw that question to you, according to you, who is rich?
Whoever needs the less than what he earns.
Whoever needs
the less than what he earns.
Exactly. We say, when your desires are less than your assets, you are rich. If your desires are less than your assets, you are rich. If your desires are more than your assets, you are poor. It doesn't matter what your assets are. Isn't it? Your assets can be 1 crore, your assets can be 5,000 crores. Doesn't matter. If your desires are 5,000, 1 crore, you are 1 crore poorer. That's all it is. So why do we say this in this context here? Why did I bring this rich and poor context here? Exactly. If you can have a financial independence. Are you with me? If you can live within your means, If you know, if you learn Vedanta, you will be able to manage your desires within your means. And when you manage your desires within your means, profit and loss doesn't matter. It's a play. You go, play. Are you with me? So like that, when you rooted in this knowledge, this is a game going on. Profit and loss becomes a game for you. It's a leader. You will go to this, it's not as if you stop, but nothing will affect you. Affectations will be at a respective level, which is at the level of body, mind and intellect, but it can never touch the Atma. Often cold will touch the body. Outside temperature will touch the body. But the inside always you keep yourself cool. Or the room temperature. At 24 degrees Celsius or whatever you keep yourself, not even room temperature, less than that. Not 24, if you keep yourself inside. Outside can be 48, outside can be 10. Inside is always 24. For him in vain, the envious season's role, who bears eternal summer in his soul. For him in vain, the envious season's role, who bears eternal summer in his soul. I forgot the person who gave this quotation. We'll get next week. This is in the Vidhi book. The seasons should roll, they roll because that's the nature. But inside you should have eternal summer. Sunshine. So where is the problem? Are you with me? If you are rooted in Atma, you will say, yes, body is affected. Cold ho gaya. Usko kya karna? Wo karo. Are you with me? Similarly, mind is gone for a toss. What do you have to do for it? Do that. In pure learning to see yourself apart from you, what we call as objectivity. Why, when you watch a movie, it is entertaining? Huh? A movie like Titanic. It's a tragedy, right? The ship sinks, everybody dies, the hero dies. Right? And movie is running like, I don't know, even if today it is released another release. Now why? Tragedy is still entertaining to you. Because it is, what is the word? Why even a tragedy is an entertainment to you? Because it is apart from you. You understand? Apart. So you must be able to watch the procession of perception, action, emotions and thoughts go by, staying at your balcony of the self. Like you come out, stand at the balcony, watch the procession go. One wedding procession goes, after some time one death procession goes. It keeps on going. You are watching the balcony of your house. Similarly, you got to be rooted in the balcony of yourself. You are rooted in the balcony of yourself. Right? All this happens. You will see it as a cyclic thing. They come and go. Verse number 14, chapter 2. What is that? Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukadukkada Agama Pajinaha Anityaha Tam Titiksha Swabharata. Somebody's name is Nitya in this country. Few people are named as Nitya. You are told you are Nitya. Everything else is Anitya. They come and they go. You are coming regularly to this class because you know it is anitya. Means when I start, you know that I will finish, otherwise you will not come. Arey Baba, this fellow never finishes. I never go. You understand? You know that I am, fortunately this fellow finishes, so I can go. everything is anitya. You are constantly changing. This glass as you are seeing it is changing. It becomes perceptible over a period of time, but it is changing. It doesn't change overnight. You understand? Constantly changing. Everything is anitya. It's a procession. You must learn to watch it from the balcony. Once you watch it from the balcony of yourself, then the greatest sorrow does not move you. Why? Why? Because you know that piche sukh aa raha hai. And when sukh comes, you don't get excited too much. Why? Because piche dukh aa raha hai.
So basically grounded in your
dukkeshu anubhignamanaha sukeshu vigatastraha vitaragadayakrutaha sitadir muniruchyate. When dukkha comes, he is not affected. When sukha comes, nothing happens. We studied this in Sattva-Prajna portion. So like that, greatest sorrow does not move him. Why? Because he knows that which is supposed to move is moving. Isn't it my foolishness to want something that is of the nature of moving to stay put? That's all it is, isn't it? Something is supposed to be moving. No. My stupidity. So therefore the greatest sorrow also does not affect. Kyunki yeldoru. What is yeldoru? He is able to watch it. He has come to the level of Atma. From the level of Atma, he is consciously watching all the drama going on. In his own life, in others' life. Therefore, he is able to take corrective measures. What ought to be done, he does. But he doesn't get affected. In his own body, other things can go wrong. It's not as if his body thinks will not go wrong. But he knows that it is body that is something going wrong, not him. Therefore he says, wherein established, he is not moved even by great sorrow. We are not established. Are you with me? He just tried out few weeks, you miss out on class. Few weeks you miss out on your study. You come back and see how you feel. You feel really out of place. You understand? That is why I say, you cannot afford to leave it. It's difficult. You know? So like that, parking. Over a period of time, it gets established. And once it gets established, you will see this happening to you even now. Some of the things which used to affect you doesn't affect you anymore. It's not as if the affectations have stopped at all levels. But certain small things which used to throw you out of balance now don't throw you out of balance anymore. From what? You will go to so what? Something comes, oh, what? Then immediately you quickly say, so what? That is why he said, even the greatest of sorrow. And what is the greatest of sorrow? Death. Annihilation. Everybody dying, reminding you of your death. Isn't it? So death, nothing affects you. Swami Ramtita wrote before, you know, the day the current was high, the Ganges. Every day he used to swim, living next to the Ganges. And when he was swimming, one day before he went for swimming, you know, current was like, you know, tremendous current. He wrote, oh death, if you wish to take away this body, please take it. I have many more bodies to work through. And he jumped, he never came back. That's a very high state to be. But at least the small little things that affect us today should not affect us. Once upon a time, if you lost a pencil, affected us. Then a pen then maybe not pen, but some pen, Mont Blanc. Maybe not all watch, but Patek Philippe watch. You understand? Something like that. You will take care of it like a trustee when it is there. But you understand, you got to move there. In fact, we are constantly both in the, what do you call, the railway track, moving, you know. Constantly moving, isn't it? That constant moving looks like we are not moving. You understand what I'm saying? You're also moving, other things are also moving, and it looks like as if nothing is moving, but everything is in constant move. In things, when you are amidst things that are constantly moving, expecting them not to move is stupidity. And once you gain that knowledge, thereafter, sorrow will be there, but no affectation. That moving will not, you will not be moved. You will continue. You will see things, but you will continue. Continue. Not getting excited by the greatest of joy, because the greatest joy is Atma. No other labha is labha. Atyantika labham. Compared to the atyantika labham, these external labhams are no labham. From a very relative point of view, all labhams are useless labham compared to health. Isn't it? You can have all the labham, but if you are not healthy, what is the point? You can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't, what is the point here? So, atyantika labham. That's why I said do the exercise of essential labham. It will help you to keep on getting rooted. Nothing else matters. So he says, therein established, he is not moved even by greatest sorrows. Samvidyadukkha sayoga, Viyogam yoga samginam, Sanishchayena yoktavyaha, Yogo nirvinna chetasa, Samvidyadukkha sayoga, Viyogam yoga samginam, Sanishchayena yoktavyaha, Yogo nirvinna chetasa. Let that be known as yoga of severance from union with pain. It's a very interesting construction. He says, let that be known as the yoga of severance from the union with pain. He doesn't call it as union with joy. Why? Because you never lost your union with joy. You, out of delusion, went and united yourself with sorrow. I told you, always remember this. Thorn is there on the road. You walk and stamp on it. And the thorn is now embedded in your flesh. What do we say in Hindi?
Kanta.
Chubhaya. Because Kanta has a... If you say Kanta Chubhaya means what? Thorn has got into my leg. Thorn has got into your leg means what? Did thorn come by walking and get into your leg? What do we say in English? I ran on a thorn. You ran on a thorn. Are you with me? Jayato Vishayam Pumsaha Sangasteshu Bajayate. You remember that verse? Which verse? 62-63 of chapter 2. 62nd and 63rd verse of chapter 2. What did he say? Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha. He went to a party. Or a bachelor. Went to a party. He met somebody. Never said. And then somebody met him. You are both eyes met. Okay. But then what happened? After a while,
mind is there.
You come home taking that person into your mind. That is called dhyayato kshayam purusaha sangateshu pajaste. You go on sending your mind towards the object, then the rishta, attachment will be there. Are you with me? Attachment? Okay. Then from attachment, sangha, sanjayate, kamaha, desire. Kama, sanjayate, krodha. Krodha, bhavati, sammohaha. Sammoha, smriti vibramaha. Smriti bramsha, buddhi nasaha. Buddhi nasaha, pramasha. So how did you got into this samsara? How did you get into this pain? By mental association. So yoga means what? Mental disassociation and association with Atma. When your association with Atma gets established, disassociation from pain is completely gone. Isn't it? Therefore he calls it as, let that be known as the yoga severance from the union with pain. You went and united with pain. There is no such thing as pain. You created pain for yourself. Therefore you only can sever yourself from the pain. The way to sever yourself from pain is yoga. Pain is created by you. How? By constant thinking. That's what I said. You tan. Your hair has become white. You're losing weight. Constantly, then you are also thinking, slowly, slowly, what has happened? I have this body. Now I have this body. Everything, any suggestion, anybody, somebody who died in cancer, I'm getting out of it. Hajkal cancer, bahut ho gaya. You understand? So in other words, dukkha. Pain. Dukkha sa yoga viyoga. The yoga of severance from union with pain. I am going and working with the object and I am getting pain. Remember what we studied, verse number 22 of chapter 5. What did he say? He said, any enjoyment born of contact with the senses is wounds of sorrow. Dukkha yonayaha. Yoni means womb. Yonaya means wombs. Dukkha means sorrow. Dukkha yonaya means wombs of sorrow. If you go on attaching yourself with the sense objects of the world, dukkha you get. You by your own mind getting attached to the object created pain. Now how can you do that? By now associating with Atma, you detach with the other. Before we say, the principle of attachment works like this. How? When you attach yourself to the higher, you get detached from the root. If you don't get attached to the higher, you never get detached from the root. So what do you have to do every day? At the body level, mind level, intellect level, got to constantly attach yourself with the higher. That is all you guys. And when you keep on doing, dukkha automatically slowly goes. That yoga should be practiced with a determination and with an undespairing mind. As if your entire life depends on it. Usko compromise nahi karna. If you wish to get rid of pain from your life, it's not a fickle. Prayer is not a part-time hobby, it's a full-time awareness of truth. All this is prayer. Prayer at the intellectual level is study reflection. Prayer at the mental level is nama japa, chanting, mantra, slokas, puja and all that. And prayer at the physical level is karma yoga and hatha yoga. You have to make your life prayerful. Prayer cannot be part-time, past-time hobby. It's a full-time awareness of truth. And it has to be practiced with determination, unflinching devotion, unprosecuting mind, with an undespairing mind. You never give it up. It is not easy in the beginning, but once you get into the spirit of it, it's unbelievable. It's entertaining. It's beautiful. You know? One study time slowly becomes two study times. It's incredible.
I met somebody, you know, talking like, he said, somebody pushed me in a room. He said, for his survival, he just loves some dates and nuts. And he likes to read a lot of books. There are some people. Like that, slowly, Vedanta study, Vedantic lifestyle starts becoming so entertaining, so entertaining. But that you got to experience. The other things, trivial things from which you were getting pleasure now starts. It's not that you will go and give a lecture to other people if you are all involved in trivial things. That means you never got out of it. But when you understand it, you may go once in a while for some reason, but your deep, you know that pleasure that comes from deeper areas, it will never allow you to get into the involvement again in the lower areas. So that you got to practice it. But yoga you got to practice. Till you get established. I've given you this example. Like a pregnant woman. First 3 months, though the pregnancy is there, it's not established yet. She got to get established. Established. Exactly like that, you got to move towards establishing yourself in Atma. So preparation, larger canvas, meditation. Preparation, concentration, meditation. Preparation, concentration, meditation. Preparation, concentration, meditation finally leads you to samadhi. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.
Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.